is somebody who raised them up. And, you know, I was talking about those interesting people that are out there in the pew, some of those new faces. Well, who is that on the back pew? Is that not Susanna Wesley? Oh, my goodness, what a special visit and a wonderful friend. We know that Charles and John are in our history and part of our story, so powerful and wonderful because of who raised them up. Susanna, thank you.
Thank you for inviting me. Good morning, Clarksbury. You know, I am proud of my children, John and Charles, but I suppose you do know that Samuel and I had 19 children, of which only 10 survived. Now, how many of you out there have 10 children? Raise your hand. No? Well, they're a handful, let me tell you. Well, I was born to a well-to-do family, and my father was a preacher. And as we went to service all the time and to different programs and different conventions and meetings, I went with my father, and I met somebody called Samuel Wesley. And I married Samuel. And as I said, we had 19 children, and Samuel was preaching up at Epworth, and he couldn't come today, so I came in his behalf. You know how we women kind of take over? Well, I'll tell you this, the rule I observed when I was young, too much addiction to diversion, never to spend more time in mere recreation in one day than I spent in religious concerns. Well, I'm the mother of Methodism, and I'll tell you how that came about. With 10 children, a household, you know, there's food to fix, beds to do, all kinds of things, clothes to wash, I had to have a method. You could call it a schedule if you wanted to, but I called it a method. And my method was this. You got up early in the morning, and you prayed, and then we had devotion, and then you got dressed, and then you had prayers, then you went down to breakfast. That was a little bit of leeway there before you went to the classroom at 9 to 12 o'clock. And my classroom was in the nursery. How wonderful of the scripture we read this morning, because we need to bring our children up in the church and knowing about God and what He did for them. So I went to the nursery from 9 to 12 just to give my children some basic education, you know, Greek and Latin. And how many of you have taken Greek and Latin? Not you, Ken. Go ahead. All right. Well, my granddaughter is aspiring to be a doctor, so she's taking Latin, and I don't know anything about it. But educated as I was, I thought the children should know. Well, our day or our method began again after lunch. From 2 to 4 o'clock, my children were read the scriptures. We had prayer. We learned all types of promises from God. But I ran a strict household. I'm going to have to read you. After all, I am 300 years old. I'm going to have to read you my 16 house rules. Eating between meals is not allowed. As children, you're to be in bed by 8 o'clock. You're required to take medicine without complaining. A self-willed child should be worked toward God to save his soul or her soul. To teach a child to pray as soon as they can speak. require that all go to family worship. Give them nothing to cry for. Give them what they need if they ask politely. To prevent lying, punish with no fault if they first confess and repent of it. That sounds like God's forgiveness for us, doesn't it? Never allow a sinful act to go unpunished. Never punish a child twice for a single offense. Comment and reward good behavior. Any attempt to please, even if poorly performed, should be commended. Preserve property rights, strict observance to all promises, and require no daughter to work before she can read. Teach children to fear the Lord. Well, when each child became 5 years of age on that very day, I spent the whole day celebrating. We celebrated by learning the alphabet completely in that one day. The next day, we began to have a method about us, beginning with the Bible in Genesis. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And they began to read and to understand what God's promises were for them. Yes, I was strict, I have to tell you. But I mean, with 10 children, what can you do? Let them run wild? Well, no, of course not. I was the preacher's wife. You do know what I mean, Terry? Right, preacher's wife. Well, along this method, when Samuel was off at Epworth, I decided that we should have some prayer and devotion time in the evening before the children went to bed. And the servants attended. And they liked it so much, they said, could we bring our mothers and fathers with us? I said, well, sure. So the group began to go, and I began to read some of Samuel's lectures. Of course, I had to add a few comments of my own. And John and Charles began to get this method. And so Samuel decided they should go off to school. And as the brighter boys were off to school, first to charter school and then to Westminster, we were in debt. And I didn't have anybody to help me in the house. So I had to farm out some of the work to the children. I guess that doesn't happen nowadays. But anyway, we had a fire at Epworth while I was there. And it really, really upset us because a lot of our things, which we didn't have many, were burned. And I was very, very upset because as I counted the children that were outside, I couldn't find John. And he was upstairs standing at a window. And so one of the men there that had come to help us lifted another on his shoulders and broke the window and got John out. In his sermons, he talked about being a brand plucked from the midst of the fire. Well, I was very proud of how John and Charles began to write and talk and to discuss things with me. You know, with 10 children, you can't keep up with everybody every day. Well, I tried to. And on Monday, after we had dinner, I spent 1 hour with Maddie. On Tuesday, it was Hattie. Now, her name was Mathea, but we called her Hattie, just for short. And so it went on down the week like that, except for the twins. They came the very same day. And so we find that this method seemed to take place with John and Charles as they went off to school. And as the time went by, I wrote to Charles and I said, "Charles, how's things going?" And he said, "Oh, you know, same old, same old. I get up, you know, just like you taught us to, that method that you had. And we stick to that, and we belong to a Bible club now." And I said, "Well, are you writing any? Are you doing any poems?" I said, "Charles, you need to take some of this writing and make some hymns of it. You know how Methodists like to take collections and hymns and eat, don't we, Ken? We like to do that." So he began to write, and he wrote over 4,000 hymns. "No Hark the Herald Angels Sing." All kinds of beautiful hymns in our hymn book and in other religions as well. Well, John, you know, he said, "Well, I think I'm going to get me a little group going, and we're going to have the same method." And as he was preaching along, he would go out on the streets sometimes and try to get people to join. And they would make fun of my boy John. They'd say, "There's that old method boy, that old Methodist." And I was so upset. And John said, "Mama, don't worry. The Lord is going to provide." And so he went from hither and thither and yon. He went to the jails with some of the older pastors, and he learned to do things there. And he began to have that method that they used. And so we were really excited about hearing all the preaching that he had done. You know, the souls of our children are what we're talking about. And today, I know I'm 300, but today, even though your parents, grandparents, even maybe great-grandparents, we have the responsibility to bring up our children listening to the stories that God has for them in the Bible. I love to tell that story because it makes my heart really, really excited. I used to be a teacher in your time for 15 years for five-year-olds. And it was Easter. And we were coloring a picture every day of the cross, of the grass and everything. And it came to the day where we were going to put the crosses up. And I said, "All right, class, you know, tell me how many crosses." "Three, great. What color is the cross?" "It's wood." "Brown." "Yes, that's wonderful. Everything's wonderful here." So I go a lot around the room. "Oh, that's great. Oh, that's wonderful." And then I get to Kyle. Kyle is drawing four crosses. And I bend down to this beautiful little brown-haired boy. And I said, "Kyle, did you hear Miss T say three crosses?" He said, "Yes, ma'am." He said, "But you told me Jesus died on the cross for me." He said, "This one is my cross. This one is my cross." Friends, as we teach our children, we can't expect to wait until they're 30 or 40 years old to learn something about Jesus. It's our responsibility, our turn, so that our children can learn about God, learn about Jesus and what he did for us, that we might be loved like all my 10 children loved me. We were not rich in things of this world, but we were rich in the love and forgiveness of our God. When I visit my grandchildren, they're a little older now, but I would say, "What game do we want to play?" and they'd tell me, and we'd play that for a few minutes. And then I'd say, okay, it's Bible time. What story do you want to hear? Have you heard about Jonah and the whale? Have you heard about Jesus on the cross? Have you heard about this, about that? You can't tell them the stories if you don't know the stories yourself. It's time to dust that old Bible off of your coffee table. Open it up. And listen to what God has to say to you about our children. I think of this church and the heritage that it has. That there were people who gathered here that were Methodists. They had a way of doing things. And today, with your busy schedule and my busy schedule, we need to take time to make a way, a method to do things so that our children and our grandchildren. And if you don't have any, you can adopt it. I'm an adopted grandmother. I go over to the little nursery school that has adoptive grandparents. And I take my little child, and we go out, and we pull the grass up, and we look at buttercups. And we do all kinds of things that God's nature has provided. But then I will tell them this. You see this cross? This is what God did for you. His son died that you might live. Like this grass, you and I are not going to be here forever. You and I need to know where we're going. There's no worse thing than getting in the car and getting lost, is there, men? You understand, you need to have that blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Well, I've taken enough of your time now. You know, with 10 children, they're probably into some mischief. Thank you, Ken.
Thank you. Well, we know that's but I think he has made a little bit about Susanna Wesley a little more vivid and real. Once today. It's good to be brought back into knowing our heritage, knowing where we came from, knowing who is walking with us, and knowing where we are going with that hope and expectation. David and Warren are not here today. I got so carried away. The story was so enthralling. I thought it was something I had to do. We get to sing a favorite of mine, one because it's simple. You turn in your hymnals to page 191. Jesus loves me.